alterations in Peel secondary metabolism that are associated with superficial scald in apples. As many of you should know, superficial scald is an oxidative damage disorder that results in peel browning in susceptible cultivars after prolonged cold storage. Granny Smith is especially susceptible, so if you store these just in air without any sort of post-harvest application, eventually over time you're going to get this really characteristic browning that occurs on the flesh of the, on the peel of the apple. And there's a couple preventative measures that you can use to manage the disorder. You have post-harvest applications like difenylamine, which is an antioxidant, or the ethylene perception inhibitor 1-MCP. And although these are very effective, if you're marketing your fruit as organic, you're pretty much limited to storing them in controlled atmosphere. So by dropping down the oxygen concentration within your storage conditions, you're limiting the metabolic activity of the apple and ultimately decreasing the amount of oxidative damage that accumulates throughout storage. So these two post-harvest applications are what I'm going to focus on today. And the approach that we're taking is to treat Granny Smith apples with either 1-MCP or DPA immediately after harvest, and then store these in air at 33 degrees for a period of 6 months alongside non-treated controls. And then peel was collected at multiple time points throughout this 6 month storage period. And then we extracted a very broad range of metabolites from each one of these samples so that we could profile metabolites using both GCMS as well as LCMS. And I'm not going to go into too much detail about those extraction procedures because Chrissy already touched on that, but the goal of this is to identify changes in metabolism that are associated with the development of the disorder. So if we have something that changes along with the development of superficial scald or a metabolite that doesn't increase in scalded fruit, that would indicate that there's a metabolic pathway that's associated with disorder progression. But even beyond that is to examine more broadly how these two different post-harvest applications affect changes in metabolism throughout storage. Apple peel is a really rich source of secondary metabolites or specialized metabolites, and this includes a variety of terpenes, including sesquiterpenes as well as triterpenes, and a number of products from the phenylpropanoid pathway. A lot of these get modified or conjugated to varying degrees to give you a really rich diversity of specialized metabolites, and some of these have well-documented health benefits for humans. This has been the topic of study for several groups in the past, and a lot of these have been identified either in whole peel extracts or in metabolite extracts from wax. A study that we did recently was to go through and compare the metabolic profile of isolated wax fractions alongside peel with the wax removed to try and get some information about where these metabolites are partitioned to see if they're perhaps deposited entirely within the cuticular wax layer or located entirely within the epidermal layer. For the purpose of this study, I'm using whole peel extracts, but then the metabolite information that we're gaining from that is going to be interpreted within the context of where the metabolites are partitioned to give us some in vivo interpretation of how this might be functioning. The study that was published recently shows that these post-harvest applications actually don't affect metabolite localization, even though they might affect metabolite level. Among the compounds that accumulate differentially with these post-harvest applications are things like hydroxycinnamoyl esters, hydroxycinnamoyl ursinoic acids, alpha-farnesene oxidation products, a variety of sesquiterpenes, including alpha-farnesene, and a number of triterpenes. This is just a graph showing you the development of superficial scald throughout storage, and what you'll notice is that at the three-month time point is when you first start to get the manifestation of visible scald symptoms on control fruit, and the severity of the disorder increases rather rapidly after this point, whereas the DPA and the 1-MCP treated fruit have little to no symptoms. And this is important because a lot of the metabolic changes that we're looking at either coincide with that 3-month time point and that 3-month development of scald, or even precede the development of visible scald symptoms by several months. Hydroxycinnamoyl esters have been reported by a number of other groups. Our localization data shows that these are actually deposited almost entirely within the cuticular and wax layers. There's little to no detectable within epidermal cells after you remove the wax. And these are things that are typically associated with plant cuticles, and very tightly associated with cutin and suberin, but the metabolites that we're looking at are freely extractable. So there was no enzymatic digestion involved in the metabolite extraction that we're using. But what you'll notice is that this class of compounds, they all behave pretty similarly. They increase throughout storage. And the ones that we're looking at are p-cumeryl, fatty acid conjugates of 18-carbon fatty acids, or even some of the longer fatty acids. So they increase throughout storage, and they actually increase more with DPA treatment than the controls, and increase to a lesser degree with 1-MCP treatment. So this is just, you're going to see these line graphs over and over again. This is just throughout the 6-month storage period. The y-axis on this is just showing relative abundance throughout storage and relative abundance between samples. So this is actually the detector response. So don't expect to see any numbers on the y-axis. You're just looking at relative differences. Hydroxycinnamoyl triterpene conjugates, which have been reported by several other groups, they share the same localization as the fatty acid esters in that they are deposited predominantly within the cuticular and wax layers, and they do increase throughout storage. What's interesting about these is that they actually, this is one of the few classes of compounds that increases to a greater extent with 1-MCP treatment, whereas the DPA and the control fruit are somewhat comparable. So there are a number of these in peel, including oleane and ursine type triterpene conjugates. The ones that we're looking at are p-cumeryl conjugates of ursinoic acids. And it's been known for quite some time that, several decades in fact, that alpha-farnesene oxidation products are associated with the development of superficial scald. So when you have oxidative stress in an apple during storage, oxidation of alpha-farnesene produces what are referred to as conjugated trienols, and these increase throughout storage prior to the establishment of visible scald symptoms. And this is something that's very clearly reflected in our data set. If you remember before, visible scald symptoms don't first appear until 3 months post-harvest, whereas you see an increase in conjugated trienols at the 1-month time point or even earlier. So one of the goals of this project is to identify compounds that behave similarly that might have a causal relationship with a disorder. If you take this compound and you apply it to apple, you can actually induce symptoms of superficial scald. Now that I've mentioned farnesene, it's probably worth noting that we did profile a number of farnesene esters, and this is just farnesyl that's conjugated to different fatty acids. These are a little bit boring in that they tend to behave in much the same way as the hydroxycinnamoyl fatty acid esters. They just accumulate throughout storage, and they do so more so in the DPA-treated fruit. So this isn't really interesting from the perspective of identifying things that are associated with scald. However, we did encounter a number of compounds that do appear to be associated with the development of the disorder. And these are all things that are within the sesquiterpene class of compounds. So based on spectral characteristics, these all belong to sesquiterpene classes of one form or another. And again, just like the conjugated trienols, they increase really dramatically in untreated fruit, but not so much in fruit receiving a post-harvest application. We don't know what most of these are, the exact structure. I'm still working on doing structural elucidation to identify exactly what they are. But based on spectral features and physical properties like hydrophobicity, some of these appear to be conjugated forms of the alpha farnesane oxidation products that I mentioned earlier. And again, these are things that are localized entirely to the wax layer. There is none of this detectable in epidermal cells, even though that's where the damage is occurring. Additionally, we encountered a pentacyclic triterpenoic acid that is also associated with the disorder. And this is a little bit different because this actually has split partitioning. All of the compounds that I've talked about up until now are deposited entirely within the wax and cuticular layer. Whereas this actually has a split partitioning where 18% of this is in the peel epidermal cells. And again, we're working on identifying exactly what this is, but I can tell you that it is a polyhydroxylated pentacyclic triterpene ester, most likely of the ursine class of triterpenes. So the takeaway message from all of this is that metabolic divergence that you get from post-harvest applications reflects changes in both the peel epidermis as well as the wax layers. And during this presentation, I've made a pretty good case for this for compounds that are localized within the wax. And I haven't touched too much on the epidermal metabolites. But as I mentioned before, there's that one last triterpenoic acid that had a split partitioning between epidermis and wax. And that's something that's actually shared by a lot of other pentacyclic triterpenes. And there are a lot of those in apples. That was sort of the topic of a paper that I published recently, if anyone cares to look into it. But that's very characteristic of pentacyclic triterpenes, whereas sterols are localized entirely to the epidermis. And there was a paper published a number of years ago showing that these compounds do actually change in response to oxidative stress throughout storage. So the takeaway message is, if you're looking at oxidative stress and the metabolic profile that results from that during storage, you really have to interpret that metabolic data within the context of where those metabolites are localized. Because if you're seeing changes in hydroxycinnamates, there's a pretty good chance that that's altering properties of the cutin and the wax layer on the outside of the apple. Whereas if you're seeing changes in things like pentacyclic triterpenes or sterols, the tetracyclic variety, that could be altering things like membrane fluidity under different temperature environments. There are a number of people who worked on this project before me. Dave Riddell, my boss, obviously. And Dave Buchanan, the guy who, a technician who came before me, actually did a lot of the earlier work on identifying some of these compound classes, which is very cool. And this was funded by the Washington Tree Fruit Research Commission.
I think we have time for a couple of questions.
Yes. I have not. I have not done anything to induce the disorder. Did everyone hear that? The question? So the question was, have I've done anything to try and induce the disorder within my experiments of things that might be associated? Other